Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gridiron Blitz Podcast, your weekly source for women's American football, insights, game recaps, and NFL news weekly. Subscribe on Apple and iHeart.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
Don't forget, everybody, welcome to the Blitz 414. Don't forget to go to Monkey Knife Fight, use the code NJF to get started, $5 free play. NBA going forward right now, MMA, NASCAR. Pretty much a lot of sports out there, so check it out, monkeyknifefight.com. Use the code NJF. You get up to a $100 match, $5 free play on us. So welcome to the Blitz, exciting 414. We're going to have two guests in line in the first hour here, and then we got another hour of talking everything that happened in Gridiron West with the West Bowl, kind of recap week four of the LNFA Femenina in Spain, and then we're going to dive into everything that's happening at the Hub. So if you haven't gone to the Hub, go to the Hub. At facebook.com/GridironBeauties. The best network on the planet exists at the Hub, covering women's American football globally. So check it out, facebook.com/GridironBeauties. That is the place to be. All right. We're going to get ready for WFA, WNFC, and if you're at the Hub today, X-League announced their 2022 schedule in June. So we will try to get a breakdown from Nate Ward probably in about 60 days once the X-League rosters do finalize. We're able to break that down in terms of what the advantage will be. There's a two-game set team, which is kind of weird. Normally it's a three-game set or four-game set, but unfortunately, I guess based on COVID and availability for stadiums, the league has decided that every team's going to play one home game, one away game. So that's going to be interesting to see how the point differentials will add up and all those other intangibles. So we'll have Nate break it down for us, kind of scope that out in about 60 days from today. Right before the kickoff in June, we should be able to have a kind of clear picture of what's going to happen there. And if you're at the Hub, there was also action overseas in Mexico. X-League superstars, Daniels, Michelle Angel in the house in Mexico, taking on a DLFL, the all-stars there from Axis and Next. So if you didn't catch it, it's right there, the actual live stream as well. Some of the photos from the event happens right there at the Hub. All right, we're going to go into Women's History Month mode, and this is always exciting for us because we got a lot of players in the NFL now. Kelly Branson, Jennifer King, Coach Lori Locas, Jen Welter out there, everybody. So it's a prime month, so shout out to all of them for putting attention to our sport at the NFL level, at the highest level, and also on various. So shout out to all the amazing stars that contribute to our sport. But as we get into March, which is Women's History Month, just remember, we are getting closer and closer to the WNFC kickoff, the WFA kickoff. We're also going to be closer to the CCWFL debut in Canada. And as we get into May, WWCFL returns. We're going to get the Maritime up north. Then we also have down south, LEXFA coming back, okay, and also LaFi and various other leagues in Mexico will be kicking off. So we will be your source for everything that's happening in the sport globally, including in Europe as well. So don't miss a beat. Be here every Tuesday. Don't forget to download our podcast, over 400 episodes on your favorite platforms. Links right there at Apple, iHeart, and Spotify specifically, but on any other platform you can listen to us as well. So you can download all our episodes and just listen to us, basically. You can listen to Terry Lister, myself, Mark Simone, the Hall of Famer, Holly Custis, the Salty One, Mackenzie Brooks, and as well as all our previous co-hosts, including Nate Ward, our ex-league insider. So check it out. All right, so NFL Combine is where we're at because it's the NFL offseason. So we're waiting for, you know, who's going to be the next breakout star. So we'll start there. We are going to have two Monkey Knife Fight huddles today in the first hour. And the first interview is an amazing journey woman that has just gone everywhere. Flag internationally with T Team Italy, as well as tackle with CISFF in Italy. Plus now she's venturing into the States, and she's playing for the D2 champion Nevada Storms. That is Ambria Marcucci, who's going to be here in about a couple minutes here. We're going to talk to her about her journey, her experience so far, and the anticipation for the Nevada Storm to make an impact in the WFA Pro. We're also going to talk to the IHAB head coach of the Mexican national team, and that is the bronze-winning champion. That would be Giovanni Carriles Larios, and he will be here, the head coach of the 2017 winning national team. So we're going to talk to him about what he expects this time around for the IFAB national team and how they will fare against some of the new teams coming on. Germany is going to show up as well. Australia's returning. Great Britain's returning. So there's a lot of Sweden's return, plus Finland, always top-notch. So we'll talk to head coach Giovanni Carriles Larios here in terms of what the IFAB scope for the Mexican team will look like. So exciting 1 hour. And then right after that, like I said, we'll dive into Mark Simone and the Salty One Mackenzie Brooks as we break down everything that's happening in the women's game. All right, a combine per se. Let's start there right now. We're just going to break down here before we bring in Ambra onto the podcast here. So the top prospect from my notes currently right now, if you're watching it, NFL Network, if you got NFL Network, if you pick up the combine pay-per-view, unbelievable, the NFL trying to like weed money from everybody. But if you want more exclusive combine access, you have to pay for that on a platform, which is kind of like ridiculous. Anyways, but that's my pet peeve right now. It's like let's pinpoint which prospects at every position are primed to be those so-called sleepers to raise some eyebrows after their on-field efforts in the 22 combine. So quarterbacks, the one quarterback that everybody's on the radar is Skylar Thompson from Kansas State. So that's one of the quarterbacks pinpoints there. His completions were really good. And obviously he's 6'2", 220, pretty well built. So that's impressive. Good scrambling, big gains. So he's mobile. So something that every NFL team would like at this point. So the expectation is obviously that Thompson will have a good workout on that. The running back position is out of Florida International. That would be Devontae Price. So it looks to be like a really good 6'1", 190, 98 pounds, fairly certain, legitimate running prospect, pretty good. He was at the Senior Bowl as well. He averaged about 6 yards per carry on 329 attempts across 5 seasons. So he's really good at that. He's at the 40-yard dash, very vertical, very good on the jumps. So there's good there in that position. Wide receiver, eyes are on Wandale Robinson out of Kentucky. So there's kind of a sleeper there, and see if he's going to turn out. He wasn't, I guess, basically an impressive guy. For example, Robinson, no different than like a Cooper Kupp, no different than a Chase or somebody that's, you know, going to be very, very potentially a good star. But under the radar guys from D3, D2, sometimes they don't fare well. And that doesn't mean they're going to be not going to be great. But at the same time, there's ability there. He's got a good agility drills format there. Lands the second day of the draft. Should be one of the key players that maybe a team will take. At tight end, Austin Allen from Nebraska, 6'8". 260 pounds, monstrous, even for the tight end position. He's not clumsy on the field or, all that. So relative to his size, Allen's pretty darn smooth. He's averaged nearly 16 yards per reception for the Husker this past season. So there's a kind of like a Kittle-like player in a sense. Pretty well in terms of stature. But I'm assuming he'll have to frame up in terms of muscle. So he'll have some work to do there. Offensively, Cole Strange from Chattanooga. So he's a combo blocking master, and this is all pro football stats. And athleticism was one of the main reasons he excelled at the Senior Bowl against a variety of Power 5 defensive linemen. So at 6'4", 300 pounds plus, so he looks like he's going to be really good. There's a sleeper there. Defensive line, Michael Clemens out of Texas A&M. Clemens might win the weigh-ins for edge rusher position. He's 6'5", 270. Looks very bit at sizable. His 10-yard split might be slow, but he plays with impressive functional athleticism for a prospect with his mass size. So it looks like somebody will be looking for that, especially if you need some help. Maybe the Bengals, for example, need somebody that can solidify that line. Linebackers, JoJo Doman from Nebraska. Doman is more cornerback than he is linebacker. He played 420 snaps in his slot in 2021 compared to 66 and 129 as an overhang defender. So 6'0 and 226. So he's a linebacker built and will work out with the linebackers at the combine. Impressive there. Defensive back, Kalen Barnes from Baylor. So he's a former Texas State champion in track who set the state record in 100-yard meter dash at 10.22 seconds. So it's pretty fast, flash fast. Dude can really run. He should compete with Memphis receiver Calvin Austin for the fastest time in the 40-yard. So there's another look out there. So pretty key players. We're going to dive into the combine as we get the Hall of Famer back. She couldn't be here this week because of other intangibles that are happening in real work environment. But she's going to be here probably next week or the week after. And we'll start to break down some of the combine sleepers, the favorites. We'll break down some of the key draft positions in terms of like the top four teams and what they need and how they can get better. Then we'll break down the top, the top 10. Not going to go over all the 32, but we're definitely going to dive into the next couple weeks into the top four, top five, and top 10 in terms of the draft order. So it gives us a real feel as to who's going to get better, who's not. Considering, certain teams do not have any picks in the first round or second round or even at all until like the fifth or sixth round, it's going to be an interesting season with the NFL in terms of what certain teams do. Unlike, for example, the Rams, who kind of sell the farm, we're going to see how they're going to plug in some holes if anybody really, doesn't work out based on injuries and things like that. This was supposed to be their season, of course, to get to where they got. They met their goal, but at the same time, the offseason revamp, how is that going to affect them? How is it going to affect the lines? How is it going to affect some of the strategies and who's coming back and who's not coming back? But the breakdown at the combine, so you guys can go to NFL Network, NFLNetwork.com. You guys can go on, on your favorite cable, get the breakdown from the combine. We're going to be talking about a couple things going forward. Like today we've talked about a couple sleeper players. Then we'll dive into some of the positional players and then some of the standouts at the combine and then how that's going to correlate with the draft order, how that's going to take care of, some of the needs for certain teams and how that's going to work out in terms of the divisional and conference scopes as well. All right, guys, don't forget, go to our monkeyknifefight.com. Check out all the stuff at Monkey Knife Fight. More or less is our platform. That's the favorite one that I play. So it's pretty easy to do. Pick a player, see if they're going to adjust their stat lines, whether they're going to make it more or less within that stat line. Pretty simple. A $5 free play on us. So if you get it right, both right, you end up making pretty much $15 on us. And then if you want to put in more money, obviously if you put in $300, you're going to make almost $900. So pretty easy to do. If you're confident, easy setup, go to the code, use the code NJF. So go to monkeyknifefight.com, use the code NJF to get started, and then start playing Monkey Knife Fight, especially NBA. NBA is pretty easy to do. How many points, how many rebounds, et cetera. So if you're pretty good at that, you're able to do that as well and get in times with that. Also, if you haven't gone to our shop at Zazzle.com, cool shirts under $25, cool leggings under $40, and we got awesome gifts there, including some cool backpacks. So check it out. Use the codes daily. If you don't have a code that's higher than 15%, always use our code Zazzle Thanks. Zazzle Thanks for the code of 15% off, and you get some cool stuff. It's worldwide shipping. So if you're in Finland or Sweden or the UK or France or out there in Europe who are listening to us, you can also go to Zazzle.com/Grand Beauties. Go to the bottom tab. Under the bottom tab at the very bottom, you'll see the country code. Click your country code, the code there. Your actual site for your area is going to go there, and you save some money on shipping as well. You can also use the code Zazzle Thanks for the 15% off. So let's get into it right now. We're going to be talking to the talented Ambra Marcucci of the Nevada Storm of 2022.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knight Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
All right, Amber, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for making the time. I appreciate it. I know we had some little message from our staff earlier, so I apologize for that confusion.
Oh, that's okay.
So it happens once in a while, so apologize for that. So, Amber, we're all shocked. We thought you were going to be WFLA bound, just like everybody else now that's in the WNFC or the WFA. So it's kind of, you know, and coming off of the great season in Italy for you. So tell us a little bit about, you know, the decision to come to the States after such a great, you know, situation over in Italy and with the off season, with the flag and the tackle that you've been contributing to.
Right. So actually for me, coming to the States to play football has been a dream ever since I started playing. So, so 2 years ago, the WFLA reached out to me, the New York Stars. So I was actually committed to that team, but like after 2 years, I saw that no moves were being made, and I was like, okay, so I need to make a decision. And in the meantime, this team from Reno, the Nevada Storms women's football team, reached out to me, and they were like, hey, you want to come play for us next season? And I was like, yep, I'm coming. So, I took care of my visa, which went very smoothly, and here I am. I'm in Rio now for 2 weeks and enjoying the practices and just enjoying the whole football culture together with my football sisters.
Amra, you and Nausicaa, no strangers to, you know, being together over in Italy, and she's no stranger to being here in the States because she's, you know, been here before with the NFL films and doing other stuff. Reno, a smaller town, is not like Vegas or New York, but it's a nice area, right?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, to be honest, I didn't really care where I was going. I just wanted to play ball, and they were very interested in having me. We had a very good agreement that we, an agreement that we had for me to come here. So I was like, I'm just going to go there and just enjoy football. Like, it doesn't matter where I'm going, where I'm staying. I just want to play and be in a good team surrounded by great athletes who have, like, a lot of experience in the game. So for me, I mean, I come from a big city. I was born in Amsterdam, actually, in the Netherlands. I've always lived in big cities. So it's kind of weird for me to be here in Reno. It's kind of calm, but I'm really enjoying my stay. So I am very happy with my decision.
I guess you can say therapeutic in a lot of ways because it's calmer and you get to experience that that area down there. So it's a really nice area out there. If you've ever been up to the mountain areas and the snow and everything else, it's different in that sense. The WFA is basically now branching out international as well. But Nevada, I think you've made a good choice. Nevada, very impressive the last two seasons. Winning Division III the previous season, winning the championship last season. So a good move for you to come over to a solid squad. And they are obviously hungry based on Coach Garcia's intuition. They want, obviously, the D1 championship.
Yeah, exactly. And this is all, like, what I heard about this team, like how motivated they were the past years, how they went from being nobody to, like, two times a champion. I was like, okay, I need to get on this team because these girls are very ambitious. These girls have big goals. They have great coaches. So it wasn't hard for me to make the decision and just say yes when I heard the whole history of this team. So I'm very, very glad to be able to play with them this year. And I think we're going to do great. Like, people are showing up at practices. We have a roster of more than 50 girls. It is something I never experienced in my life, in my football life. So I'm very, very excited for this season, definitely.
Amber, what's going to be with you, 8-on-8 versus 11s? Have you transitioned to that before? Is it going to be something interesting for you, or is it something that you've done before in terms of the format and the style of play?
Right. So we actually played 7-on-7 in Italy. So 11-on-11 is definitely my first time. And actually, it's easier than I thought. I was like, okay, I'm going to have a lot of difficulties with having more people on the field. But things were so, like, it was so easy for me to learn because the coaches are they're making it easy for us to learn. And I'm just really happy with the way they coach us, because to be honest, I was very afraid to come out here. I was like, God, I'm the person with the least experience in playing the game. And am I ever going to learn all the plays? And is it going to be difficult for me? But I'm very surprised. Like, the way the coaches, they set up everything is just amazing and so easy to learn. So, yeah, it's just, it has been very good so far.
Now, the experience in terms of both sides, you got flag experience, you have tackle experience, the mobility, you're very elusive type of player. The scheme, is it going to be on one side of the ball? Is it going to be multiple? Has the coaches decided your skill sets and how they're going to be used in general? I mean, we don't want to give any, you know, what do you call it, secrets out early in the season here, but as in general, well, one side of the ball or the other.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, first of all. But actually, this year, I'll be playing slot receiver and running back. And I heard them talking about putting me corner as well, but I'm not sure if that's really going to happen, because slot receiver and running back is already, like, a lot for me to study. And I'm not that confident in defense yet. I mean, I played defense in flag, but in tackle, I didn't really do it. So I'm definitely eager to learn defense, but I want to make sure that I'm great at offense first. So if it's really needed, I'm definitely open to learn it. But let's see what's going to happen. It's not 100% sure that I'm going to play on both sides of the ball.
Which is a good thing, right? Physically, because that's, it's kind of exhausting, especially in 11th. If you got to play Iron Woman football, that's not good for 10 weeks. It kind of wears on your body.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not easy. But, you know, we have a big roster, and I think the coaches are going to, you know, give us time to recover. So, but it's always good to know more positions in general. You never know what's going to happen. If someone gets injured, let's hope it's not going to happen, of course, but to learn more than I should do, actually. So, yeah, let's see. Let's see what's going to happen.
All right. Let's talk about a little bit about Italy, the growth there for you guys. You know, it's been a kind of a whirlwind experience when the league started up to what it is now. We follow it every year. It's a shorter season, of course. It's more crunched mode, and it's a lot more intense because it's shorter weeks, and every game does matter. And then Milan, really impressive this year. Talk about a little bit about that team and the impressive win this year in terms of winning.
Okay, so yeah, I had a great time playing with the girls from Milan. So in last summer, we won the cup, like La Coppa Italia, and this year we won the competition of Italian women's football. So that was pretty crazy. Like, in less than a year, we won two times the title. So yeah, I mean, I've not been, I mean, I've been in Italy for like maybe 1.5-2 years. So I wasn't playing in Italy before. I came from Portugal, where I started the first female football team. There's where my football journey actually started. But for what I've been, you know, hearing from Nausicaa and the other girls, it's like slowly growing in Italy, female football, but still it's very hard because the girls have to make a lot of sacrifices. Sometimes there's no team nearby, which was also my case. I was training with a third division male team because from my city to Milan in Italy was like a 6-hour train trip. So I would do that once in a while to practice, but I would mostly go to games only because I would practice with the guys and then just play the games with the Sirene Milano. So, but yeah, like, it has been growing the past years. It's just like, it's very slow. You know, some girls are actually giving up on the sport because they found another job or had other, you know, goals in their life. So it's not easy. It's really not easy. It's just not the same out here. And that's why I really wanted to come out here and experience the real culture. And it's definitely different. So I'm super happy I had the chance to play with the girls from Milan. And if I'm going back, I will definitely play with them again. But I'm also super excited to just 6 months, like, only doing football and training 5 times a week because we have 3 practices with the team. And then we have 2 optional practices for the receivers and the quarterbacks. So we're definitely putting a lot of work in it, and I'm just very confident that we're going to do great in this season.
I really think the Reno will be a great experience. As you're talking about, the coaching staff has built this program over, I think, 3 years now, 4 years, and you can tell the results are there. You know, championship after championships. So that's a very important nucleus and culture to build that, right, when you have a championship mindset where the goal is to be in the finals. And then, Amara, you get to the finals with Nevada as a goal, as an example, and you get to land in Canton at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How cool would that be?
Well, the moment that you said that, I got goosebumps. So, yeah, that's something we are going to – we're going to work on getting there, right? So that's definitely our goal. So if that's going to happen, that will be like a dream come true for me. Like being here already is a dream coming true, but actually getting to the finals, that would be like ultimate. So I cannot wait for that to happen, and we're going to do everything for that to happen. So I'm so excited.
I'm excited for you too, and I'm excited for the coach and the team. And I'm, every player there has committed and put time in this program, and I think that's why it's been successful. Even the ownership has sacrificed a lot for this to put Nevada on the map. And now we were talking about Nevada all year last year. They were like the focus team of the season, and they did not disappoint. They obviously took care of business, and they went to the final and did their part. So that's a great program, and the city of Reno is really so proud of this team and the accomplishments that they've done so far. So nothing less than, great wins and an opportunity for another return to the championship is what their goal is. So it's a really high goal, but like you said, it's a discipline and culture. What do you think of the food so far? You're an international woman here. You've obviously gone everywhere, Amsterdam, Portugal, and then you come to America. I hope you don't get hooked up on our fast food, as they say.
Well, actually, I traveled to America several times, so I'm pretty used to the food. I knew what kind of food I would find here. Thing is that the girls let me taste Italian food here in the States last week, and it was so disgusting. And I was like, this is not Italian food. You cannot say this is Italian food. You can tell me this is mac and cheese, but don't tell me it's Italian, please. So now actually we have a deal that like every time we're going to eat somewhere, I need to try their mac and cheese to see if I find someone that's actually good. But I told them like mac and cheese is not something Italian. It doesn't exist in Italy. But to be honest, like in general, I'm actually enjoying the food. Like you can have healthy food everywhere. I love the Mexican food too. So, there's a little bit of everything, and I always choose like the right choices, but once in a while, like, for example, Chick-fil-A or whatever is great, after practice. So it's good. I'm just not going to eat Italian food here. That's all.
Yeah. Everybody has that motion where, like, you go from the American culture that claims that this is a delicacy from a foreign country. Like, I'm Mexican, and a burrito is not wrapped in a tortilla. A burrito is literally a taco shell burrito. And you know what I mean? It's like, what are you talking about? Like, my mom, she's like, old school from back in the day, and she's like, this is Taco Bell is horrible. It's not even Mexican. That's what she says.
You feel me, right? You understand what I'm going
my
through.
My mom feels that. She's like, this is not real cheese. Tex-Mex cheese does not exist in Mexico. She's like giving me a hard time for everything, I'm like, Mom, I don't know what to tell you. It says Mexican on the label. She's like, it's false advertising. She's like, very.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
stern. It's really funny.
Oh, it's crazy. No, but you know what? But it is different, don't you think? It's like a lot of the ingredients are different. They're either pasteurized here where they're not out there. Just a lot of difference in terms of the food, right? How it's processed or how it's maintained.
Yeah, definitely. And also what surprised me was the amount of choices that you have when you are in the grocery store. Like the first day I did my groceries here, I took so long because there's so many options, and I hate to have many options, Like on one side it's good, but on the other hand you're like, God, I have to go through all of them, see all the ingredients and which one is cheaper and which one is more, like it's crazy. Like in Europe we don't have like that much choices, So it's a lot of like things like in the culture here that I have to get used to, but it's fun. I mean, as you said, like as you mentioned before, like I traveled a lot over the world, around the world. I stayed in Morocco last year 2 months to teach flag football to kids, so I'm used to be like in places, different cultures, and I love to learn like a new culture, a new language or whatever. So it's not that hard for me to just move around and be without my friends and my family. It's something that gives me a lot of energy and just it gives you a more open-minded mentality. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know how quickly people turn to being obese really quick in this country. You know why? Because the grocery store gives you that option. They're like, healthy food? Oh, no, I'll have that ice cream. That looks just a lot more better. You know what I mean? So it's like so easy just to go the other way.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. But, you know, like I've always like had like a certain diet because, I mean, I'm an athlete, so I'm taking this very serious. I'm taking very serious what I'm putting in my body, right? So, okay, once in a while, I just eat a cheat meal, whatever. But in general, I always try to, you know, keep a healthy diet. But I can completely imagine that for a lot of people, it's just difficult to actually maintain a healthy diet. I can really imagine because there's so many great options and they make it so attractive, you know, to just eat fat food and processed food. So, yeah. I know.
Yeah. It's tough. I know it's tough because, like I said, you go to the grocery store, like you said, there's all these choices, and then you eventually give up and like, oh, my God, that looks so good. I'm going to have that instead of this. And so you just quickly make your choice. And then you're like, okay, why am I at the gym? You know, why am I at the gym? Like, I had one of my friends, it's kind of a joke between the two of us, right? She goes to the gym. She's hardcore. She busts out. And then all of a sudden, she goes to Starbucks. And then I'm like, okay, all those calories just burn on the machine. We're just gone. Big old latte.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, it's not working. Of course it's not working. I said, you got to stop going to Starbucks right after the gym. It's like, this is how it works. But no, it's funny because she's like, oh, my membership, I don't think I want to keep it any longer. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, maybe the Starbucks membership shouldn't be kept. But it's just a joke between us.
That's funny. Well, actually, some people say they go to the gym just to eat, you know, so you also have that type of people.
For true. But you know what? It's hard to maintain that discipline. Like to your point, it's really hard. And a lot of players have that intangible, right? Because you have to have, especially for in season, when you're in season, not so much off season, but when you're in season to get in shape and everything, it really becomes a struggle for some players because you have to maintain that. And it's expensive too, especially here in the States now. It's pretty expensive to try to maintain a high, good quality diet.
Oh yeah. I really noticed that, but it's something that I mean, I'm used to eat healthy. I know my body. I know, like, more or less the amount of calories that I need to eat to maintain a certain weight or, you know, so that really helps. I really know how my body works. My metabolism is very fast, so I can eat a lot, and I don't really gain fat also because I train a lot, right? So that helps. But, yeah, I mean, once in a while, it's really okay to just eat something outside of the diet. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't do it every day, of course.
All right. Who are your bunk buddies? Who are your buddies right now on the team? Who's the one that welcomed you in, took you in? I mean, we got a lot of players on this team. So was it the quarterback, the running back from last year? Was it, you know, who's your bunk buddies here?
Oh, I have a lot already. They're all being so nice to me. Like, they're so supportive. Like, for example, Sarah Colangelo, she's very nice. I mean, I've been in touch with her already months before coming. Actually, most of them reached out to me before I came. They were like, hey, Amber, when are you coming? We're so excited that you're coming. And, for example, Mo, the quarterback, I'm staying with Kaylin. She plays on the offensive line. Carrie, also on the offensive line, she's been very nice. Like, Andy is my workout partner. So I'm actually all of them are very nice and supportive, and it's the first time for them that they have an international player, so for them it's new too, but they're dealing with this like in such a good way. Like, they're really, really taking good care of me, and it's just very exciting, like, for me and for them to have an international player, right?
Well, it's always nice to have a good relationship with your blockers, especially if you're going to be a running back.
Oh yes. I'm going to make sure to keep it that way. Yeah.
It's always nice to have that intangible. I don't know. At this point, fanfare for you has been great. So that's why I wanted to bring you on to the podcast to kind of introduce you to the upcoming season for the WFA and obviously Nevada Storm being a focal team from last year. So I'm kind of excited to see how you're going to, you know, perform on the field, how your contribution is going to benefit this team. And hopefully at this point, at the end result, will be another appearance with this coaching staff. Like I said, they're really – really focused on excellence. So, you know, getting to Canton is obviously the goal, and they know that. So, but I'm kind of excited to see where, you know, the coach is going to scheme you through and how beneficial you're going to be to this team.
Oh, yeah. Like, me too. I'm so excited. I cannot wait for our first game, which is going to be the 18th of April against Denver. which is going to be a little bit difficult, I heard. So I'm going to be nervous for sure for my first game, but that's okay. You know, it's all part of it. But yeah, we're all very, very excited, and we all feel that we could have like a very big chance to come just very far in this championship this year again.
All right. Anything I didn't ask you? I know, you know, your journey started in Portugal, and, you know, shout out to you for creating an outlet for women to play the sport. And then obviously now, you know, you're such an inspiration to a lot of people. And if you guys don't follow her, you can follow her on Instagram. It's her name as well. And a lot of great stuff on her stories, a lot of great stuff on her gallery. I hate to say this, but everybody has a TikTok. So do you have a TikTok too?
I do, but I should use it more, but I do have a TikTok, and I guess it's just like my first and my last name. I don't even remember. There's some content there, but I'm going to use it a bit more probably this season.
Yeah, and TikTok's great for just an individual, you know, breakout and just kind of giving your one-on-ones and things like that. So it's a good platform. So a lot of players, you know, obviously have to leverage social media in some way. So a lot of people are on TikTok more than anything now. They're using TikTok in conjunction with Instagram on Reels. So it's really, really good format for that. We do a lot of stories, a lot of stuff. We haven't gone into TikTok ourselves yet because we're trying to figure out a format, because we're more of a news source mentality versus, I think, TikTok's more of an individual person mentality, personality mentality.
That makes sense.
So we haven't found our niche yet. And then I'm like, okay, we got to wait. I told the guys, we got to wait. You know, let's wait another year and see what's happening here and see how we can work it out. But overall, it's been successful for some players as well, and some of the teams are doing a great job all over the world on, you know, putting content out there.
Oh, yeah. Actually, our team has a TikTok as well. It's the Nevada Storm Women's Football, I guess it's called. And they're making, like, really fun TikToks. Like, we have a couple of girls who are taking care of it, and it's really fun to watch. Like, it's funny sometimes, but also, like, you know, motivational. It's really cool. So you might want to check that out as well.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it, because I know you guys, the team has done a really good job of it. So check it out. Follow Nevada Storm Women's Football on TikTok. You can follow Amber on Instagram as well. I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what the scheme's going to be from the coaches. So I really appreciate you making the time. I know you were at practice, and thanks to Coach for giving you the time to sit down with us. But you're always welcome back. Maybe kind of get back together after the season and kind of reflect on what your journey was for the team. I would really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll kind of message you out
and see what week is best. And you're not storming out of Nevada after the last week of the season, I hope. But you'll be in the championship. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
I think so. I mean, I will be here until like more or less the beginning of August, because my visa is for 6 months. So it's something I have to, you know, take into consideration. I'll be here at least until like the beginning of August, and hoping that we'll go to the finals, of course.
I think that's going to be the case, because, like I said, the coach has really done a good job. Coach Barrett and Coach Garza, they've done a good job there. So I really expect a successful season as well. And even if you don't get to the championship, I know this team is devoted to be at least making the playoffs, and if not more. So given the roster from last year, and given the additions like yourself and other of the players, like you said, the over 60 in the roster, that's an impressive recruitment. So I think that Nevada's set for success.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much for the support. I really appreciate it.
All right. I will catch you later. I hope you have a good week, and then enjoy your practice, and ice up, as they say. And looking forward to another chat after the season's over. And hopefully that's going to be where we're talking champion.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, and I'm looking forward for the next time.
Thank you. Have a good night. Okay. Enjoy it.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, that's Amber Marcucci of the Nevada, the new addition to the WFA D2 Champions. Looking forward to how they're going to use her in their scheme. Looking forward to how they're going to operate in terms of an offense. Like she said, she might be on offense, playing on a couple positions. Multi-talented. She's very elusive, and she's a very ready athlete. She's athlete-driven. And so Nevada's definitely picked up a jewel there. And given their scope of what they've done in the last 2 years of implementing certain schemes for certain players and using them at their skill set strong points, I think this coaching staff is going to really benefit from her and the other pieces that they already had in place. So Nevada Storm, looking forward to a WFA Pro championship appearance. That is their goal. So we're looking forward to seeing them in Canton for the final in the WFA as well. And that would be historic because they won D3. They won D2 championships. And if they do go to the final in D1, it would be a first time in WFA history that a franchise would arrive in three consecutive finals. So whether they win D1 championship or not, it won't matter. They will make history by consecutively arriving every year. And then if they win the WFA 1 championship or WFA Pro championship, which is a huge hurdle, they would be the first franchise in WFA history to accomplish that mission. So huge. Let's go into the next huddle, and we're going to be talking to the coach of the Mexican Federation, the IFAB World Champion bronze winning team of 2017. That's going to be Coach Giovanni Carrillo-Larios here in a minute.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Night Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
All right, guys, don't forget to go to Monkey Night Fight. Use the code NJF to get started. $5 free play right there. All right, Coach Larios, how you doing, Coach Giovanni?
Hola, ¿cómo están? Buenas noches. Bien, bien, gracias.
Coach Giovanni, ¿cómo estás? ¿Está como todo bien? ¿Todo bien? ¿Ya está, estamos finalizando todo para el Mundial?
Ya estamos listándonos para el Mundial. Ya tuvimos el primer entrenamiento con la preselección, con aproximadamente 100 jugadoras, 110 jugadoras que tuvimos en el primer entrenamiento.
So, Coach Giovanni, ¿cómo mira usted el torneo, la adición de Alemania y Australia, regreso otra vez, a Britania otra vez? Esperando más competencia, en otras palabras, para el 2022 torneo.
Creo que es bastante bueno que se sumen equipos europeos que tienen gran nivel y jugadoras que el fútbol americano en femenil ha crecido demasiado en el mundo. Entonces creo que es algo que nos motiva a nosotros como equipo mexicano prepararnos con formar una muy buena selección para competir en el siguiente campeonato mundial y hacer mejor las cosas que lo que se hizo en el campeonato de Canadá del 2017.
Coach, ¿ya finalizó su staff o está trabajando usted para finalizar todo su staff para el mundial?
Estamos todavía con algunos coaches que tenemos, que estamos visualizando, pero ya en sí está casi listo el staff. Ya estamos con el staff casi completo. Ya nada más es un coach que nos está por ahí sobrando y ya.
All right, guys. I was just asking Coach Giovanni here about the state of the game for Mexico in terms of the competition with the addition of Germany, the addition of Great Britain, and the addition of returning of Australia, and how his staff is being built right now. He's saying that it's almost complete. There's 100 girls that were at tryouts. He's evaluating those players, obviously, for the final roster. Looking forward to the upcoming tournament in Finland. Coach Giovanni, ¿a usted ha ido a Europa en cierto punto en su carrera?
Sí. Tuve la fortuna de ir como seleccionado nacional en el Campeonato Mundial Senior 2011, que se efectuó en Austria, jugando contra Estados Unidos, contra Austria, contra Alemania. Estuvimos ahí participando como jugador.
¿Qué piensas de la experiencia de las chicas que van a tener en Finlandia?
Pues la verdad es que es una gran oportunidad para que las jugadoras mexicanas se puedan mostrar, ¿no?, en diferentes partes del mundo, que vean que el crecimiento del fútbol americano aquí en México ha sido muy bueno después del campeonato mundial que se llevó a cabo en Canadá, donde tuvimos la primera participación de una selección mexicana. Creo que es una oportunidad muy muy grande para nuestras jugadoras el que demuestre, ¿no?, que el fútbol americano aquí en México pues va creciendo y que se juega de una gran forma, ¿no? Muy feliz porque ya algunas jugadoras mexicanas han estado compitiendo en las ligas de Estados Unidos. Ahorita hay dos o tres jugadoras que están compitiendo a gran nivel ya en los torneos de Estados Unidos. Entonces creo que el poder ir a Europa y que se muestren, que vean el talento mexicano, creo que es una excelente oportunidad.
So I was asking Coach Giovanni here about how the experience will be for the roster of the girls in the Mexican team, and he's saying it's great. He's actually traveled to Europe before in Austria, and he's actually think that the experience is going to be great for them in Finland, kind of express themselves to the world what their talent is going to be. Coach Giovanni, ¿tiene una idea de quién va a ser su quarterback? ¿Va a ser el mismo quarterback del último mundial o todavía no sabemos qué va a ser su mariscal de campo?
Pues tenemos ahorita 10 jugadoras que se están probando para hacer quarterback. Entre ellas 10 están las dos seleccionadas del campeonato mundial pasado, que se están probando, uh-huh. que tienen la competencia con sus otras compañeras. Entonces todavía no estamos definidos, estamos en un proceso de preselección, el cual a mediados del mes de mayo ya tendremos el roster final de las 45 jugadoras que irán a representadas a nuestro país ahí en Finlandia en el siguiente campeonato mundial.
I was asking Coach Giovanni if he has any idea who his quarterbacks are going to be. He says there's a small group of quarterbacks still to be decided on, and once the roster is finalized in May for the 45-man roster, then that will be what they'll look at. Coach Giovanni, la último torneo, ¿tenieron buenos esfuerzos y buenos cosas en el playbook con el run game, teniendo los corredores como Romero? So, ¿espera usted también a buscar otros talentos para mantener el balón en la tierra?
La verdad es que tuvimos muy buenos campos de entrenamiento este fin de semana, jugadoras con gran talento, corredoras que han estado demostrando y están jugando a gran nivel. Andrea Romero sigue en un nivel excelente, como lo demostró en el mundial pasado. Ahorita físicamente creo que está muchísimo mejor preparada, se metió al gimnasio, y corredoras que tenemos de gran nivel, ¿no? Ahorita tenemos un caso que está Regina Escoto, está jugando en un equipo de Nuevo México, San Diego me parece ser, que está también preseleccionada y está jugando en una liga de Estados Unidos. Entonces tenemos jugadoras con gran talento para poder seguir con nuestro juego terrestre, pero también nuestro juego aéreo, poderlo balancear de una mejor forma para poder competir en el siguiente campeonato mundial, no nada más esforzarnos en el juego terrestre, que creo que tenemos gran talento, pero tenemos grandes receptoras y grandes corebacks.
So I was asking the coach about how his running game's going to go by. He's obviously mentioning Andy Romero, who was one of the focal points of the 2017 running back. And he's saying that they're still being evaluated at this point to make sure that they balance an air attack and a run game attack. Coach Giovanni, ¿qué nos dice de las líneas? ¿Más mejor en peso o fundamental que el último torneo? Porque ya se supone que ya miró qué clase de talento trae Estados Unidos, que trae Canadá y todo eso. So, esperando, ¿qué cambios ha hecho en las líneas, en otras palabras, para físicamente estar más al tal con ellos? ¿O vas a usar, como dice usted, como usaron el último torneo, viene siendo más agilidad y más speed?
Pues estamos trabajando en el perfil del jugador aquí en México. Sabemos que el perfil de la jugadora americana, de la jugadora canadiense, en sí de las jugadoras europeas, es un perfil alto, pesado, fuerte. Entonces, las jugadoras vieron ese tipo de perfil de jugadoras que nos enfrentamos y estamos trabajando en ello. La verdad es que tenemos la fortuna de que en este proceso mundialista tenemos más jugadoras de diferentes estados de la República, como el Monterrey, como Durango, como estados del norte de la República, donde pues la mujer es más alta, más pesada. Entonces estamos trabajando en ello, estamos teniendo las visorías, revisando los perfiles de las jugadoras para poder competir contra lo que nos enfrentamos en el campeonato mundial, que creo que fue algo importante, ¿no? Que la parte física en el aspecto del tamaño, del peso, pues sí fue considerable para nuestras jugadoras, ¿no? Entonces estamos trabajando en ello y creo que tenemos muy buenos resultados en lo que hemos visto de nuestras jugadoras y creo que podemos dar grandes resultados y buenas expectativas para el siguiente campeonato mundial.
So I was asking Coach Giovanni to kind of evolve on the fact that in the last tournament, 2017, they used mostly speed and agility on their front lines, but they were being overpowered on the lines by some of the tougher squads like U.S. and Canada, for example, on this side of the coastline. So he's saying, the recruitment stage for them now is obviously to look for that type of individual that will compete and match up with the rest of the teams, which will be beneficial for them as well to, control at the line. En la defensa, Coach Giovanni, dicen que todos en defensa están locas. Ha sido de recruitment con unas jugadoras que están muy locas.
La verdad es que somos jugadoras pequeñas pero muy rápidas. Entonces, tratábamos de trabajar mucho en esa cuestión de nuestra velocidad, de nuestra agilidad, teniendo un buen sistema defensivo donde podamos ser muy agresivas en nuestro ataque, ¿no? Presionar a nuestro quarterback, jugar con velocidad, atacar en las diferentes partes de la zona, cubriendo a nuestros receptores con diferentes covers. Entonces, y pues algo que nos caracteriza aquí en México es la parte de la agresividad en el golpeo, ¿no? Creo que en el campeonato mundial pasado fue lo que se vio, que en nuestro golpeo, la verdad es que la mujer mexicana es muy aguerrida, muy entusiasta para el contacto, y pues estamos trabajando en eso, ¿no? Obviamente mejorando todas las cualidades, tanto fundamentos de tacleo como la muy buena técnica de tacleo para evitar algún tipo de lesión de nuestras jugadoras y obviamente de las jugadoras rivales, ¿no? Sino siempre cuidando su integridad, pero no dejando fuera lo que nos caracterizó, que fue la parte de la disciplina y de un excelente golpeo.
So I was asking him what type of player he's recruiting, whether it be a all-out defensive, out for blood type of player, and he's saying that that's what they're trying to enhance right now from the last tournament and how their girls really played with grit, and he expects obviously to have a better squad this year coming up to hit harder and to be more impactful and to make a difference on that side of the ball. Coach Giovanni, El juego de equipos especiales, ¿tiene algo usted en cuenta con ellos en esa forma o va a ser mezcla de todos los jugadores a tener drills con special teams, por ejemplo?
Okay, pues por las características del torneo, que es el campeonato mundial, que solamente se permiten 45 jugadoras, pues tienen que participar todas en esos tipos de especiales, ¿no? Pero estamos llevando un coordinador de equipos especiales que se va a enfocar nada más en llevar los equipos especiales. Sabemos muy bien aquí en México que el juego se divide en ofensa-defensa y los equipos especiales, ¿no? Entonces tenemos que enfocarnos mucho en esos equipos especiales, que creo que puede ser una gran herramienta para en el torneo llevarnos triunfos, llevarnos buenas posiciones de campo para poder nosotros atacar y tener buenos resultados durante los encuentros del torneo. Entonces sí estamos enfocándonos mucho en los equipos especiales.
So I was asking Coach Giovanni how he's working on in some of the games. He's saying that's awfully a key. He's actually getting an actual special teams coach to try to coordinate some of the players to be on that squad to make a difference in case there's a close games, or maybe it could be a difference in terms of winning or losing certain games. Coach Giovanni, ha estado el estado de las ligas con la FAI, con Lexpa, con FX México, todo lo que ha pasado entre la federación, y hablamos con el Lexpa el otro podcast. So su focus no es en eso, pero viene siendo de que va a escoger las mejores jugadoras, se supone, de cualquiera que quiera venir al tryouts, ¿verdad? A presentarse con ustedes para hacer selección de las mejores 45 en el equipo.
Mira, nosotros nos manejamos vía Federación Mexicana de Fútbol Americano. Las ligas que juegan aquí en México tienen que estar regidas por la federación. Si ellos cuentan con esa parte de afiliación a la Federación Mexicana de Fútbol Americano, van a estar contempladas para poder participar, para ser seleccionadas en el siguiente campeonato mundial. Y sí, yo como head coach del campeonato mundial lo que quiero es ir a competir a gran nivel, competir contra las mejores, y para poder competir a ese nivel tengo que llevar a las mejores jugadoras de México. Entonces, es en lo que estamos trabajando, vamos a llevar a las mejores jugadoras de México para poder lograr un mejor resultado de lo que se obtuvo en el Mundial pasado, que fue en Canadá, ¿no? Obteniendo la medalla de bronce y dando un gran juego contra Estados Unidos, el cual creo que pues nos dio muchas enseñanzas, muchos aprendizajes, y poder mejorar lo que pudimos hacer el campeonato pasado, ¿no? Pero que quede claro que vamos a llevar a las mejores 45 jugadoras de México a competir al siguiente campeonato mundial.
So I was talking to Coach Giovanni. The question was, where the selection's going to come from some of the players, given Lexfa's disaffiliation with the federation. He's stating that at this point he's going to be working with whatever leagues are within the federation, and that will be where his talent pool will be only at this point. So that's something that he's not worried about, because whatever leagues are affiliated, that's where his talent pool is. Coach Giovanni, ¿qué espera usted de la selección de Canadá, de los Estados Unidos? ¿Por qué se va a hacer el torneo? No sé el schedule del torneo todavía, quién se va a enfrentar, pero se supone que número uno y número dos es algo de revisar, ¿no? En game film, y poner algo de atención a esos dos, porque esos vienen siendo los dos equipos más buenos del mundo, ¿no?
Sí, la verdad, sin menospreciar a los equipos europeos, estamos enfocándonos mucho en la parte de Canadá, en Estados Unidos. La verdad que, bueno, pues Estados Unidos tiene un excelente equipo de trabajo, ¿no? Estamos viendo que la head coach fue jugadora del campeonato mundial, estuvo en diferentes ligas de Estados Unidos, y ahorita es coach de NFL, entonces, y llevan varias coaches de NFL. Entonces creo que eso a nosotros como coaches nos exige a plantearnos bien lo que vamos a instalar para poder competir contra Canadá. Pues estamos viendo esa posibilidad de que nos podamos enfrentar por cómo se llevó a cabo el campeonato mundial pasado. Entonces estamos estudiando bastante bien a los dos equipos, viendo los pros, los contras, el tipo de perfil de jugadoras que pudieran llevar a los campeonatos mundiales. Obviamente pues estamos esperando noticias, ¿no? Pues en sus diferentes redes sociales que manejan los dos equipos, para poder estar al pendiente de ellas, y creo que podremos prepararnos de mejor forma para poder competir a gran nivel contra ellas, ¿no? Y dar la sorpresa y dar lo que estamos buscando, ¿no? Que es competir por la medalla de oro, no nada más quedarnos por la medalla de bronce, sino ya estar compitiendo por la medalla de oro contra Canadá o Estados Unidos, que creo que son los dos equipos a vencer.
I was just mentioning Coach Giovanni how his game plan is going to be primarily maybe focusing on the North American teams, which is basically the number one and number two teams in the world, which is Canada and the United States. His point is obviously that those teams obviously have great coaching, including the U.S. with Callie Brunson as their head coach announcement, and some of the other coaches that are in the NFL, which benefits that team greatly. Coach Giovanni, ¿qué tanto orgulloso está su familia, sus jugadores anterior, a llegar otra vez a ser el coach del equipo nacional otra vez?
Pues mira, la verdad es un trabajo de hace años. Llevo coachando más de 15 años en diferentes niveles, tanto para varones como para femenil. Entonces, la verdad es que es una profesión que me gusta mucho, a lo que me dedico. Entonces, es algo, una felicidad muy grande, ¿no? Mi familia me apoya completamente. Están muy felices por esta oportunidad de estar enfrente de una gran selección y demostrar, ¿no?, que el fútbol americano aquí en México se juega a gran nivel y podemos hacer grandes cosas. Jugadoras, pues las jugadoras están contentas, algunas no, obviamente como todo, pero creo que estamos trabajando de una forma correcta para poder conseguir los mejores resultados para México y para el fútbol americano femenil.
So, tenemos muchos años con usted desde el 2017, ¿no? Hemos estado hablando en el podcast por lo menos una vez cada año, por lo menos. Y es un momento muy grande para usted también, ¿no? De nosotros también, porque hemos cubrido a usted desde FX México, a la FI, a todos los campeonatos, las nacionales y todo eso. So, para mí, hablar con usted es algo de un honor, porque has hecho muchas cosas para el deporte femenil. So, yo digo que eso viene siendo algo grande.
Sí, desde el 2017 estamos en contacto y pues seguimos, ¿no? Seguimos tratando de impulsar el fútbol americano femenil aquí en México y en el mundo. La verdad, el poder llevar al mundo el excelente juego de fútbol de las mujeres aquí en México, que puedan ver cómo hemos trabajado, creo que es algo muy importante, que vean a las jugadoras que se esfuerzan día con día, ¿no? Entonces, créanme que es un honor que sigan mi trabajo, es un honor que estemos en contacto para poder, pues, hablar del fútbol americano femenil aquí en México, ¿no? Y que puedan llevarlo ustedes como periodistas al mundo y que, pues, nos den esa oportunidad de demostrarlo.
Coach, ¿es algo de ayuda que necesitan para estar al tanto nosotros y para ayudarles en hacer algo de post, para ayudarle con algo de la situación con finanzas y fundación para ir al mundial? Porque sabemos que en 2017 hubo algo de necesidad para asistir a las chicas para llegar al mundial. So, ¿ese es el caso otra vez o es algo que la federación ha ayudado con más fondos?
Pues mira, la verdad la federación ahorita está muy al pendiente de todo lo necesario para llevar a las jugadoras lo mejor posible, que las jugadoras no puedan, que no paguen ni un centavo para poder ir al campeonato mundial, ni que paguen vuelos, ni que paguen hospedaje, ni comida, ni transportación en Finlandia. La verdad es que se está haciendo un buen trabajo vía federación, se están consiguiendo todo lo necesario para poder viajar y que las jugadoras nada más se dediquen a jugar, ¿no? Que se dediquen a hacer lo que les corresponde, que es ir a jugar fútbol americano a gran nivel y pues tratarlas como lo que son, ¿no? Unas atletas de alto rendimiento y que compitan como debe de ser en un campeonato mundial. Entonces, ahorita no, la verdad es que la federación está haciendo un gran trabajo y está contando con todo el apoyo de la mejor forma del siguiente campeonato.
Está todo cubrido, ahorita que estamos hablando, está todo cubrido para ir a Finlandia y la federación soportando a las chicas, ¿verdad?
Así es.
Ok, gracias. Que es buenas noticias, ¿no? Porque empezando
sí,
en 2017 había hablado todo diferente y con sacrificio y todo llegaron a Canadá y se llevaron el bronce. So, ¿qué cambio, ¿no? En 4 años, como dicen.
Muy fuerte para que las cosas funcionen, ¿no? Se llevó a cabo el campeonato mundial FLAG, donde compitió también en México y con grandes resultados y se llevaron grandes cosas, se fueron bien las jugadoras, los jugadores, entonces esto no va a ser menos, ¿no? Se tiene que tratar de la misma forma y la federación está haciendo muy buen trabajo para que las jugadoras sean tratadas como lo que son, jugadoras de fútbol americano y grandes atletas, entonces se está haciendo todo el esfuerzo necesario para que así sea.
All right, Coach Giovanni, ya no le va a quedar mucho tiempo. Ya sé que también está en temporada en la liga profesional, ¿no? Está con está jugando esta temporada.
Así es. Ya estoy por en unos minutos empezar el entrenamiento de la liga profesional de aquí en México. Entonces, pues ya para el fin de semana empezar nuestros juegos.
All right, mucho gusto de hablar con usted otra vez. Ahí danos el tiempo otra vez. Y esperando que llegando a Finlandia tenemos otra oportunidad de recibir los resultados de México, en qué estado va a acabar. Pero gracias por el tiempo.
Perfecto, ¿no? Gracias a ustedes por la oportunidad, por la difusión del fútbol americano familiar de México y que lo den a conocer a todo el mundo. Entonces, muchísimas gracias por estos minutos. Un saludo a toda tu afición, a toda tu comunidad, a todas las personas que te siguen, saludos a todas las mujeres de Estados Unidos y del mundo.
Gracias, Coach Giovanni. Tenga buen entrenamiento y buena noche, ¿ok? Gracias.
Gracias.
All right, guys. That was Coach Giovanni Carrillo Larios, the head coach of the Mexican IFAB bronze winning 2017. He is looking forward to a great outcome in Finland for the 2022 IFAB World Championships, and he's expecting obviously a great roster of 45 this year, and he's looking forward to a competitive tournament, and he looks forward to a silver or gold medal winning. So what an excitement there. Let's bring in the oracle of women's tackle football, and that would be the Mark Simone, aka the backseat coach in the house. Coach Larios, he's looking for gold. Mark, he's not going there to Finland just to show up. He wants to obviously to get a, to get something bigger than a bronze medal.
Well, you know, I would hope that every team there is going for the gold. Of course, is that realistic? You know, I think certainly bronze is realistic. You know, if they can get into the gold medal match, I think really that's what he's trying to say. If they can get to the gold medal match, then of course all bets are off, right? Once you get into that final game, in the reigning attitude is that anything can happen. I mean, certainly expect that they would hope to improve on what they built, you know, what they did in the last games, and get to the gold medal match. Now, realistically, I think bronze is probably the highest that they'll get at this point yet. But, hey, let's face it. There's one thing that's good about international competitions like this. Every team is going to have a full roster, right? You're not going to be facing a team that has way more players than you, right? You're not going to be facing a team that has a totally small roster. We're drawing from these huge national pools, and that helps at least even out that part of the competition. So for what it's worth, you know, it's a level playing ground. And, of course, he's got aspirations for gold, and why shouldn't he?
And, you know, the one key thing that I took away from our conversation, Mark, is last time that the team was fielded, it's a great relief, right? Last time that the team was fielded, the girls had a struggle and sacrifice to family members, everybody else, to get them to Canada. And the good news is, he said, the actual Mexican Federation is covering everything for these girls to go to. All they got to do is focus on being football players for that time of the tournament and to get to that tournament, which is awesome.
That's great. I mean, that's really good news. It's good to know that the money's there, that the support and the just the will is there to do that. I hope every team can get that kind of support.
So it's great for that. And then him being named, Mark, two-time head coach of the national team, I mean, this is huge for him. He got bronze in the first, very impressive, right? Third place in a national tournament. Now he's actually going to go up against, a Germany squad that's returning. And then you also have Australia returning, Great Britain returning. But, I mean, the opportunity is there for him. Like he said, he's already scoping the U.S. and Canada because he knows that those are the two teams that are going to be standing ground. But as he said before, he's literally scoping every team in terms of, you know, what the roster is going to look like in terms of, you know, the players and themselves. And I just mentioned to him the stature, the lines of the last tournament were a somewhat lower in terms of weight and height. So his point to Tamaran is he is going to recruit more heavily in Mexico, looking for, you know, technically the beef on the offense to compete on with the level with Canada or a U.S.
Oh, absolutely. When you're recruiting from a large pool and you know, you have an idea of who your opponents are, you know, you have to, you know, picking the team is probably, that's the top priority, that the top thing that you got to worry about. You have to get the right personnel that puts you in the best position to win games against, you know, an international field of opponents. And I think this is a very interesting situation. With these games, the field is larger than it's been in the past. The past three times there have been six teams, and now there are eight. As you mentioned, Germany is coming back. And Germany has a very long history of having women's football. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, where they match up, you know, in this whole thing. So while Mexico definitely is looking ahead to Canada and the United States, they definitely have to turn their head and look to the left and right of them for these other opponents that they haven't seen yet.
And we know Finland's top-notch, Euro champion as well. We have the Great Britain team that's improved a lot. And Sweden coming back as well is going to be obviously improved. So there's like top – there's really four. On the Euro side, it, definitely Finland and Sweden are no different than U.S. And Canada. So it's going to be a struggle on both ends, you know, to see how Great Britain does, how Australia does again this year, and, of course, how Mexico is going to fare. And like you said, with the larger tournament field at this point. So looking forward to the 2022 IFAB Women's World Championships in Finland. So it's going to be exciting to see that. Mark, let's go to the hub, figure out the things in the hub. Because if you're not at the hub, bub, I don't know where you're at. But let's go to the hub. And then we're going to dive into this huge championship in Australia. We'll kind of break down LMFA Feminina as well. But I just talked to Ambra Marcucci here. Mark, totally excited to be part of this Nevada Storm for the WFA. So I think the addition there is going to be very beneficial for Coach Barrett and Coach Garza. So it can only improve Nevada.
Yeah, you know, getting a player with skills is always going to help another team. I don't know how much she brings. I'm not very familiar with her exploits as a wide receiver. I do know that Reno is a team that probably doesn't throw as much, and so maybe that can change if they can give another dimension to their game with some more passing. That would definitely be a benefit to the Storm's game. And so hopefully Marcucci can be part of that expansion of the Nevada Storm's sort of arsenal of weapons.
Yeah, I think she's going to be very beneficial, especially on offense. So hopefully that's the case. The news out here today, coming out before I got here, was Thelma Banks was nominated for the 21st annual Today's Women Most Admired Woman Award in a fitness category on todayswomennow.com. So you guys can go vote as between now and the 31st. Voting is available to anyone with an email address, but only one vote per email address. So if you guys are listening to us, this should be a no-brainer, right, Mark? I believe we have, 9,000 followers at the hub. So if all 9,000 just use their email once, I think we get this girl over the top and get the award for her. So if you guys are listening to us, be a no-brainer. I don't know, how many followers on the WFA page, Women's Football Alliance page? Like, what, 10K? Or even more than that, 20K?
I think there's almost 30,000 now, yeah.
Yeah, so this is 30K. So everybody that follows the WFA Facebook page just votes, including our crowd. I think we get her the award, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I mean if all those people turn out, I mean hey, listen, she's already one of the most admired women in women's
That's
tackle
correct.
Football, right? So it's not hard to be like, oh, do I want to, you know. Vote. Yeah, you do. You want to vote for Thelma Banks. All right. Get to the hub.
This is a no-brainer.
Find the post.
This is like what you call a no-brainer, Mark.
Yep. Just do it.
Okay, go to the hub and go to the link, and it's really easy to do. It's www.todayswomennow.com. And if you don't know where it is, just go to the hub and click it on there, and that's it. So between now and the 1st, we need 30K, you know, 30,000. Between now and the 31st, I meant, and we should be able to give the talented Thelma Banks, the champion of D3 champion Derby City Dynamite, the most admired woman in the fitness category at todayswomennow.com. So go check it out, okay? Let's get her over the top, and let's get her the award. She deserves it. Pretty easy to do.
Get to the hub, bub.
If you're at the hub, you got to get the excitement that happened in Mexico, DLFL, with the Team Austin, Michelle Angel, Chris Daniels, all that company. You also have the breaking news of the 2022 X League schedule that just came out as well. And the other news is Adrian Smith, Mark, announced a couple hours ago, she's got Team Milk posters and GI Gridiron Queendom and Blitz Champs apparel launching. So check out her stuff right there, and pretty cool. And I think her Team Milk poster is awesome. That's one of those I'm going to order. I think she looks badass there in that.
Yeah, we think alike here. I think that's like I think that's pretty hot.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, she killed it. I think she killed it. So now you got some cups, mugs, and a couple T-shirts and a fanny pack. So you can check it out right there at GI Queendom and at the GI Queendom store, and then the link's right there as well. So shout out to Adrian for shaking it up and doing her thing as always. Just a great, awesome individual, and at the same time, entrepreneur. So shout out to her.
No doubt. Yeah,
all
definitely.
Right.
Go Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian's bad. She's badass, and she's doing great things. So the other thing we had is new league in Germany or in Belgium. So we'll keep tabs on that and see if they're going to do a full-scale season or not. But it's a new women's team in Belgium, so we'll see how many teams can mature there like we did with the QFL, which is going to rebrand at some point from the Netherlands as well. And then you also have the Texas Valley Sports, which we'll be talking about here. March 12th will be the first round of the TVS, and it's going to be Coastal Bend versus River City Warriors, and we'll talk about it in a bit. But the biggest game that happened this weekend, Mark, of course, West Bowl 5. What an exciting matchup. The anticipation was there, and all of a sudden, I really think the Warriors got, I mean, the Wolverines got burned out the last 2 weeks of the season. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's it. I was expecting a bit more of a fight, but as it was, the Rockingham Vipers just simply physically dominated the game and just, you know, ran away with it. It was 38-0, a shutout. You know, the Wolverines, I don't even think they got a first down. That's how dominant the Vipers were on defense. And so, yeah,
the
maybe their
mark,
last battle
the
with first
series,
took it out of them.
The first play was really the blow. Like, I was, like, shocked. It's the first series, first play, TD. I'm like, what? No. And
yep.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that was an impressive run by the quarterback. It just,
quarterback
Gray. You know, ran.
Kathy Gray, yeah.
Yep, just ran inside the tackle to the left and just jumped out. You know, I think it really caught the Wolverines defense off guard. The Vipers O-line just manhandled, made this big hole, and quarterback just ran through it. And she was already past the linebacker. I don't think the linebacker saw that she had the ball. Like it was. It was just a devastating play, and she took it to the house, and, I mean, that was all she wrote. The rest of the game was more
really,
of the same.
It was really that, like, there exactly to your point. It was just more of the same. Then you had Adelaide Falla, you know, with the running game. You had Aka with the running game, 22 and number 4,
yep.
Just literally just on the ground. And as they say normally, right, Mark, if you can't stop it, then why change it? And the Vipers did not change it. They kept it on the ground. They kept
right.
it on the ground. Can't stop
yeah.
it until you can
yeah.
stop it.
Absolutely. I mean, to your point, the Vipers, you know, I don't know if they ran four different plays, like from the line of scrimmage. You know, they just rushed inside the tackles to the left or to the right. They hardly ever passed the ball. If it was on a two-point conversion. They didn't really try and go to the outside and get around the edge. That wasn't their game. And, you know, whenever they did try doing that, it didn't really go anywhere. You know, West Coast did a good job of stopping them when they moved laterally. But when they ran in between the tackles and up the gut, they just couldn't be stopped. The offensive line was just pushing the Wolverine just out of the way. It was total physical domination. And the running backs and the quarterback were just getting big chunk yardage running downhill. They just couldn't be stopped. So they didn't really need to run any sort of elaborate plays or any deceptive schemes or try and do anything unexpected. They just put it out there. It's like, can you stop this? If you can't stop this, we're just going to keep doing it. And that's what they did.
I mean, it was a dominant performance, 22-0 at the half. I think, you know, for the Wolverines, it was really a key play. You know, shout out to Amy Dagnia out there. Shout out to John Porter and then Jana Gordon and then the rest of the crowd. But Amy Dagnia, man, she played a hell of a game on defense, on offense. She even at one point played quarterback. Just a you know, shout out to her for trying to make something happen for her team, because it was getting out of hand quickly.
Yeah, she was definitely a standout player for the Wolverines. I also thought number 29 Carney had a pretty good, you know, game on kickoff returns. She seemed to be like one of the only players who wasn't afraid to run downhill and run into players and get those yards. Yeah, good job to those two players. They definitely were playing hard during the game. And for the Vipers, definitely Acker and Fala had great games. Fala also playing defense too. She was great, I think, all around, like one of the most valuable players of the game. Playing running back and linebacker, getting a lot of tackles. So she was great. Definitely a great effort on the part of these individual players.
Now, the only negative, Mark, if we have to be negative on the Vipers, some false starts in the fourth quarter. But, you know, they didn't matter at that point. They were up like 30-0, so it wasn't like a detrimental thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much over. And so, you know, I think it's pretty forgivable. I think for most of the game, they kept their penalties under control. At least they didn't sort of interrupt their flow when they were on offense. Unfortunately for the Wolverines, you know, they had a couple of penalties that, you know, losing the yardage is bad, but getting any rhythm at all on offense and getting, you know, like that, like penalties was part of that problem. It's hard enough to have the Vipers defense really being disruptive and getting into the backfield and making contact and tackles behind the line of scrimmage. But when you're also getting penalties, especially after you've gotten like a decent chunk of yards, and this happened a couple times, they just couldn't find any rhythm, and they couldn't get anything going at all.
I know that one play you're talking about is like a punt return, right? The kickoff return, great yardage,
yep.
Right? And then you get two penalties in a row. And I'm like, what are they doing here? They're almost at midfield or more. They got an opportunity. But offensively, the Wolverines were anemic. I hate to say it, but it's really what it was. They were anemic. But shout out to the Wolverine defense. Like you said, some of the key players on defense did really want to stand out. But the Wolverines defense, it could have been worse, Mark. If the third and fourth quarter, I think they kind of stood out. Once they started that 22-0, they knew that they had to try to hold it back. But overall, what a Vipers win, for them. And let's just be clear, the announcers were incorrect. Okay, the announcers were incorrect. This is not a dynasty. That's what they claimed. This is not a three-peat. That's what they claimed. It was not a three-peat. And right off the bat in the comments, everybody was shocked that they were kind of hyping this up as the Vipers' three-peat. The correction is this was the Vipers' third West Bowl appearance consecutively. So there was a third consecutive West Bowl appearance, and they've won two out of the three. So they lost in 2019 to Perth 26-8. So we correct the announcers that way, and then they've obviously won last year 16-14.
Yeah, I think that's an important clarification to make for anybody who might have seen some some of the posts or was, you know, heard the broadcast and maybe wasn't paying attention to the comments or whatever. But, I mean, that being said, making three West Bowl appearances in a row, you know, is definitely a notable accomplishment. Back-to-back wins, definitely a notable accomplishment. And quite frankly, the manner in which they won this game will tell you, I think will tell you a lot about their chances of returning to the West Bowl next year. I think they're probably pretty good, unless there's a huge shakeup with the personnel. They're looking very, very strong, like a very strong team. They're looking like a dynasty. What can I tell you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you because this is starting to be kind of a stout, and if they get the returning vets and everybody in general, during the broadcast, some of the announcers were saying, a lot of the Viper roster is really made up of rugby and NRL players, so you know those girls are tough, and now you put armor on them, that's probably why there's a difference there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, and they are playing nines, but the different physical sizes and attributes of the different players, you know, they just seem to have everything that they need. And in watching them perform their jobs on the field, it seems like everybody's very well versed in the fundamentals. And really what won this game. The Vipers have mastered the fundamentals, executing them in a game situation and just simply doing their jobs. It was a symbiotic relationship. You know, it all started with the line, whether they were on offense or on defense. The line just did their job, and then that allowed everybody else to do their job well, too. That's the makings of a, you know, a team that can keep winning. So very well done job by the Vipers. Congratulations to them. Keep up the good work. And hopefully we'll see you next year and see what's next for the Vipers.
So you guys can watch the whole game right there at the Hub. Courtesy of FRS Sport, you know, with the partner of CD Dodd, but via Gridiron West, right there on the link. So check it out. Go watch it, even though it's a 38-0, you know, result. But, you know, if you want to watch some Rockingham Vipers, you know, execution, as Mark points out, fundamentals, it was really well done. Shout out to Ed Elfala, Aka, and Kathy Gray on some of the amazing performances in terms of offense as well. So check it out right there. West Bowl won in the history of West Bowl in the women's side, Mark. There hasn't been a competitive match in the tournament or in the final. The only competitive match that was down to the wire was last year's West Bowl 4. Every other West Bowl one was 28-0. The second was 20-6. And then the third was 26-8. So the winners of the West Bowl, you can tell those are the most fundamentally offensive units that have come to play, as you can tell by the scoring. So it's tough to arrive at the West Bowl and expect nothing less than to get blown out. So if you're West Coast or if you're any other team that reaches the West Bowl, just be on the heads up that when you get to that, the best team that was number one more likely has enough firepower. So it's just a matter of how can you control that or curl that, right? So just a perspective in terms of the so far in the history of the West Bowl.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you know, the history, as you say, is it's only been five games. We would expect that, you know, early in the history of a league that the championship games may not be as competitive. You know, we expect that, you know, I think that's something that we could expect. But I think another thing that we can expect is that as the years go by, the championship games will become more competitive, especially, I think, with this, you know, with this number of teams, when you're about, you know, eight teams, that eventually parity will build up, you know, for at least,
the,
you know.
The West Coast clashes the last 2 weeks of the season could have been a factor why the Wolverines did not play a better matchup here. But given the fact that they were close game, so it could be the fact that the games themselves, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, they were just not as competitive. But, you know, West Coast upset Perth Broncos. Perth maybe could have been a better matchup for the Vipers. We will never know. But at the same time, they earned the right to be here, and unfortunately their showing wasn't as great as their last 2 weeks of the finals of the season.
Yes, but regardless, like the Wolverines can take away a lot of, you know, they've taken a lot of benefit from, you know, from this season. You know, I heard in the post game presentation, the Wolverines coach basically saying at the beginning of the season their goal was to play a full season, right? And so when that's where you're starting from and you end up in the final, you've done a lot of things right, right? So, you know, maybe the score was, you know, not very good in that final game. But, hey, you know, they made it to the final. That's a big thing. They got over on the Perth Broncos, who them earlier in the season. That's a pretty big deal. Those are two things that you can really take with you into the next season and have it, you know, give you the inspiration to keep going, because this team can get better, right? They can achieve their objectives if they put their mind to it and if they put the work in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think, like, my point is just that maybe that was a factor. You know what I mean? They deserve to be here. It's just a matter of, like, whether they got burned out the last 2 weeks, you know, personnel-wise and recovery-wise, and that could have been a factor. And then, obviously, the Vipers, the better team. So, shout-out and exciting. You go to the IG page on our Gridiron Beauties, and you go see Adelaide Fala there on the gallery as well. So, shout-out to the Vipers, West Bowl 5 champions in Gridiron West. All right. Mark, talk about the development at the Hub as well, the Central Canada Women's Football League, which we talked to Sonia Rode, I think, back in last year. They were going to start, and then obviously because of COVID and everything else. So now the CCWFL will be launching in 2022. So there's a nice article there from CFL.ca. So we're going to have three leagues in Canada, the Maritime, the WWCFL, and now we're going to have the Central Canada Women's Football League right there in Ontario. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think that's really great news. I definitely feel like, you know, there are teams in those areas that, you know, this is of a great benefit to them. It links the different provinces of the country together from coast to coast. This opens up a lot of possibilities in the future. Of course, they have to get the league up off the ground and they have to be successful at doing it. But now, you know, now you've got a Western League, you've got the Maritime League, and you've got a league in the Central. That just opens up a lot of possibilities for women's football in Canada. They can go in many, many different directions. And, you know, I think this is just really fantastic news.
I think it's going to be great for, you know, international competitions, because now you have pretty much three leagues that the coaches can pick from instead of one league previously before that. So, but I think it's going to be an exciting, we'll be following the season. We'll figure out, we'll try to get Sonia in here one more time, you know, to see how it all turned out, but it's going to be, should be awesome. Bring in Mark, the badass co-host and be, two fighting series champion of in Georgia, the match won by the salty one.
Now, Mac, I have a problem with your marketing team. Your marketing team.
My
stinks.
Marketing team?
Yes. Your
Why?
Marketing team,
your
you
whole
need to fire right
team.
Away. Whatever you're paying them, Snickers, it's over. You need to pay them like something Twix or something. Okay? All I'm saying is, why are you not going by the salty one? You got to be going by the salty one. Mackenzie, the salty one, Brooke, because that is cool marketing. Because anybody that's facing you, they're like, the salty one. Yeah, because once you get that result that you just got, they're going to be salty. And so, like, what?
I love that from you, Oscar. Now, look, you know, Mack Truck just seems to fit, but the salty one is definitely my second alias. That is a thing. that's great. You need to fire your marketing team. That's gold.
If they're on the payroll right now, Mac, if they're on the payroll right now, you need to figure out how they go from Snickers to Peanuts, because that's where you're at right now with the marketing. You need to figure it out.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, though. B2 has done such a wonderful job with how they run things and how they operate. Like, B2 Fighting Series is one of the best promotions for MMA out there, whether you're a low-level amateur, an elite amateur, or a pro. They put on one of the best shows, and I had a really good time fighting in Georgia. I was the only one from the more northern states to come down to fight for that, fight on that card. And at this point, in a nutshell, for the most part, I'm trying to be like a pioneer for the amateur division of women's heavyweight MMA. And it seems to be taking off a little bit faster than I had expected, because I don't know if you guys, I don't know who's listening and who on here as far as co-hosts, bought the pay-per-view and watched the fights, but it was a good card. And on our commentary, myself versus Skylar Whitten, we were friends. We still are friends we were still friends up until they finally matched us up and got us on the card. Like, her and I pretty much put this fight together, and the matchmakers just made it official and put it, got us on that B2 card.
Well, I think Whitney's fine. I mean, it's a growth process, right? That's what you're trying to achieve, like you're saying here. It's a starting point, right? You got to get yourselves out there and get some talented women to, just like no different than, UFC does it with some of their talent. But we're really, really proud of you. I got messages at the hub saying, is that your co-host? The one on the radio, the one on the podcast? Because nobody could believe that was you until I put it up there. Didn't I put it up there? I think I said, Gray Iron Blitz co-host. And they were like, yeah. And then I said, all I had to respond with is, that's our badass co-host. Yes. Watch. Go get the pay-per-view. So it's like that. People were shocked, Max, that you were actually doing that, but now they're not. Now I think they're pretty clear on that you can actually kick some butt, not just on the gridiron, but in that squared circle.
Yeah, I've had such a great support team, and I have a great coaching staff and teammates that have prepared me to get to this spot that I am now. I mean, I'm 2-0 in B2 Fighting Series. I'm 3-1 in K1 Kickboxing. Hopefully, with another kickboxing fight coming up at the end of April. So, we're gonna see. Taking about a week off, to snack a little bit and let my body heal up a little bit, and then back in the gym, because my goal is to drop a little bit more weight and kind of stay in that 250, 255 range rather than the 265 end margin. So my goal is still be a heavyweight, be a little bit lighter. I like how I look at 255, 250. I like how I move, but I definitely like the power I have at the 260, 65 range. If I can keep the power and drop a little bit more weight, I'm golden.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you look great. So, I mean, that was awesome. I mean, we couldn't be more proud of you. I mean, it was just a great match, and here you are standing still and 2-0, and
And I don't think she hit you that much in terms of your facial features. I don't think you're puffy enough there, are you? Did you sway from that?
She cracked me like 3 times, and they were good ones.
Really?
Like they were, I mean, and it was also, yeah, like my face looks so much better today than it did Saturday night and Sunday night.
Yep.
And yesterday. But I mean, it hurts worse than it looks right now. And it was also just awkward being a lefty and fighting a lefty. It was two different worlds. Like, I'm used to being the one that people don't like to fight because they're an orthodox or right-handed fighter. Now, me being a lefty and her being a lefty, definitely the world's most awkward thing. It was very annoying because everything I was throwing, she was seeing. Everything she was seeing, everything she was throwing, I was seeing, because we both stand the same way.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
very interesting.
Yeah, for the most part, it was still, you know, still pretty good. Still, like, I give her so much credit. Like, that was her first MMA fight ever. Like, she'd been, you know, she kind of has the same storyline as me, you know, has been training in sports and martial arts for a long time, you know, and it's just harder to find heavyweight females. So I'm thinking this fight that we just had, now that it's, you know, going viral and it's out there and, like, you know, clips and pictures and the YouTube and the, you know, the Instagram and the Facebook and everything, and the social media atmosphere that we have today in this time continuum of 2022, March 1st, I think it's going to open up heavier women's eyes to, like, okay, like, they, you know, they're built kind of like me, and they're out here swinging and kicking and, you know, punching each other just like people in the smaller classes. So that's kind of what our ultimate goal was. And Skylar and I actually had a chance to talk after the fight, like, my coaching staff, like, me and my coach, and then her and her two coaches talked afterwards. You know, we got a selfie, you know, got a picture together. We kind of just talked about, you know, what the future for the heavyweight women's division looks like. And I kind of feel like it's going to start opening up here soon.
Obviously very proud of you, you know, kind of a pioneer in that sense as well. So awesome job, Mac. Awesome job. But, you know, like I said, work on the marketing, maybe get that marketing, you know, get that salty one. I think you're going into that mode now, especially if you're going 3-0 or 4-0 or 5-0 or 50-0. You know what I mean? You're going to be that marketing part of it. That's all I'm saying. That's my point I'm adding to it. Mac, unfortunately, the Wolverines did not fare well in West Bowl 5. So the Vipers did. So, but unfortunately, like Mark says, they did arrive there. So hats off to them. They should return next year with a little bit stronger urgency to maybe, you know, get back to it as well. So shout out to the Vipers and the Wolverines for a great performance in West Bowl 5. So before we get out of here, let's go to LNFA Femenina in Spain. So, Mark, it's pretty much set at this point. I think it's going to be La Rosa Black Demons. You got the Barbera Rookies pretty much in week 4 of this tournament. So those are the two top dogs in the series, B series, the LFFA series. So those two basically are playoff bound, right, Mark?
Yeah, it looks like that. They both have 3 wins, the most in the entire league. So they're both on track to kind of be the favorites going into the playoffs. Do we know what the bracket is? Is the playoffs going to be 4 teams, or is it just going to be the top two, the top team from each group here?
I think it's going to be a 4, from my understanding. So it'll be the 2 groups meeting up, and then the final 2 will meet up from the 2 groups.
Yeah.
So that's my understanding at this point.
So, yeah, I mean, it looks like the Black Demons and the Rookies, who met last week with the Rookies prevailing, 2 weeks ago. But those are your two top teams right now. And these two teams are actually going to face each other again in a couple of weeks. So
yep,
that'll be very interesting heading into the playoffs to have them, you know, one of them's going to hang, a loss on the other one. And that, you know, maybe that will have some impact in the playoff seeding. So that'll be very interesting.
And, Mac, in terms of the Demons against the Osas, it was a 71-33 campaign, the most – these are the two rivals in Madrid, and this was the biggest game so far in the league history, 100 points between both teams. So it was an impressive victory by Black Demons, 71-33 to take down the Osas. So the Osas have been playing really good up to this point, but, you know, the Black Demons obviously on another level.
Yeah, I caught some of the highlights from you know those games this weekend since I was fighting. The 150 points in the history, I was very kind of mind blown. I'm not even gonna lie, I was like, wait a minute, that says 70, and they had I was like, what? And it just goes to show you, kind of like we talked about last week, like it's all about what kind of consistency you're going to get from week to week. And then obviously the score says itself. So there's not really room for excuses or error. Like it was kind of a shellacking.
And it turned out they were up 32-26 at the half. Shout out to Olga Sotillo, who added 6 touchdowns. Maria Del Mar Hernandez, 3 touchdowns. Elvira Nunez, 2 touchdowns. And then another 5 touchdowns scored by the Demons on the other play. So just overall an impressive offensive output by the Demons. Mark, the rookies, meanwhile, they beat Barcelona 40-12, so they lead the Levante group undefeated 3-0. So at this point, I mean, it looks like that's going to be the matchup as you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. The rookies, again, not putting up flashy numbers, but definitely a solid victory over the Buffaloes, who, aren't a bad team. The Buffaloes, the Barcelona Buffaloes are now 2-2. And in between the rookies and the Buffaloes are the Valencia Firebats. We have yet, because of like some cancellations and things like that, we don't know how that, the Firebats are going to end up. But right now they're just behind the rookies in the East group. So they're still, they're definitely in that playoff picture at this point. And whether or not they can mount any sort of serious threat against the rookies remains to be seen. But, yeah, the rookies are definitely sitting on top after a 40-12 win against the Buffaloes. And Elena Leyva of the rookies scored 5 touchdowns this past week. So, we've got Sotillo of the Osas with 6 touchdowns, Leyva with 5 touchdowns. This is like some crazy Whitney Zealy type performances here.
Yeah, it's just firepower, and obviously it's more of a less game than 11th. So when we talk about this, everybody that's listening, it's not 11th. So it's actually like 9-9-9, and more of a format in that sense. So that's why it's the high scores are obviously, higher. Mac, we talked about the winless two teams. Shout out to the Granada Valkyries for getting the win between the two winless teams, the Truckers of Calzada against the Granada Victory. So shout out to the girls in Granada for taking the win.
I told you they were going to win. I didn't. Look, this is 3 weeks in a row. I'd have called damn near every score prediction and deficit and who was winning, with the exception of the rookies. That I went total-wise, I think I went 5-6 the past 3 weeks. The Valkyries, though, they got it done. And I know you weren't too high on them, Oscar, because we had talked about this last week, but Valkyries got it done, and they did it in good fashion. For me, it was the consistency on their defense the entire game. Like, it was pressure, and it's like they hit the gas and didn't let up.
Well, they halted the Truckers, so 20-2, only gave up a safety, so that's really good performance by Granada. So Shout out to Lizbeth Baez, who had 2 touchdowns. Nara Martin, who scored 3 touchdowns. And Carla Blanca added a 2-point conversion. So shout out to them. So really, really impressive. We knew one of them was going to win, right? That's what we said about the battle of winless teams here. So one of them had to come into play.
Yeah, it was the battle of winless teams for sure.
I think the Valkyries probably had they had a little bit extra fire because this was their first franchise win ever, and it, you know, they're a new organization, and they hadn't won a game yet, and this was their chance. So I think they had a little bit of extra motivation there. But I do want to say congratulations to the Grenada Valkyries on their first franchise win.
Yeah, really good job by them. Awesome job. If you guys are following Texas Valley Sports, we'll get the rundown in terms of the playoff picture by Texas Valley Sports. So right now, as it stands right now, Coastal Bend will be taking on River City, and then Brownsville will be taking on Kingsville. So the matchup's really, really crucial. Brownsville and Kingsville, week 6, 32-14, sort of a revenge game for Kingsville here. And then also Coastal, 40-20 in week 7 versus River City. So looking to see how they'll contain Coastal. So that's the matchups in terms of the playoffs for Texas Valley Sports 2022. So we'll keep tabs on that. We'll get the updates as well. Mac, I don't know. Pretty awesome weekend. You, badass, out in Georgia. Pretty awesome weekend in Spain. A great weekend and championship in Australia. So it just keeps getting better and better. And looking forward to WFA, WNFC coming up here in 60 days or so.
Yeah, 60 days till kickoff for women's professional ball here in the state. Pretty jam-packed weekend for here us here at the Gridiron Beauty Blitz podcast and hub crew. Man, lots of stuff across the board. You know, the 5-bowl, W-bowl, Gridiron West, Queensland, the whole nine. Like, it's just, but, you know, if you're not at the hub, y'all not obviously going to know that. Like, I mean, but here we are again, repeating ourselves like normal. I mean, if you know, you know. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, if you're at the hub before you get here on Tuesday, you pretty much understand what we're going to be talking about. So go to the hub, get informed. The best network on the planet exists at the hub, so go there now. Mac, if anybody wants to listen to you, we have replays. So if anybody doesn't know, we have replays. You can listen to Mac 24/7. I think it's over like 200 episodes now that you're on. So you can listen to almost 200 episodes of Mac on a reel. Even if you fall asleep, it's not a big deal. So go ahead and listen to Mac on Apple, Spotify, and iHeart. You know what I mean? It's just do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. What do you think, Mark?
Oh, yeah. I mean, get to the hub, Bob, and get caught up on your news. Then go replay some of the podcasts so you can get your full dose of the salty one, Mac Truck, Mac.
Yeah, and you know she's salty in some of those podcasts, so it's entertaining. So check it out. Check it out. Subscribe, iHeart, Spotify, and Apple. Mac, always entertaining, a lot more entertaining when you're kicking ass and getting that big win. So we were literally rooting for you. My wife says, isn't that the girl on the podcast? And I said, which girl? Isn't that Mac? And I said, yeah. And she goes, she looks scary on that photo that you had out there with the B2.
I love that. Now, I've gotten all kinds of comparisons from this weekend. Somebody told me I look like the Predator's child. Somebody told me I look like Baby Hulk. But I like,
yep.
There was a lot of fun ones. Someone called me Cousin It with hair. It was pretty good. It was just, and most of it was just like out of pure fun, like no malice or anything. Like, it's just, it's really nice to just, you know, be able to share my experiences with people and, you know, hopefully be some kind of an inspiration if that's what you know, see me as. If not, I can be a friend, I can be salty, I can be a bodyguard, sometimes I can be a giant teddy bear. It really depends.
It's real, so real. And if to all the cheese heads out there, now you know she's the real deal.
Yeah. Freaking cheese balls. Keep yourself up there, northern Wisconsin.
Oh, Mac, I think your dad would be so proud. Your dad would have been so proud of you with what you've done so far. So I think that's just the end result right there.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy part is I talked to my brother yesterday, and I kind of told him, I was like, you know, I felt like he was there. Like everybody that wasn't there, that wasn't physically there at the fight, whether they're, you know, past or still living, I felt all of their energy. So, and that attributed a lot to how I was fighting and what, like, my thought process is for the most part. So, like I said, I give hats off to Skylar. She's a great opponent, even, you know, greater person in general outside of the octagon. Very nice, very humble. And like I said, I was telling people before, like, I'm used to being the younger one out of the two sides, but this time I was the older one out of the two sides. She's 21 and I just turned 30. So a little bit, she's got a little bit more youth on her side, moves a little bit better in my opinion. But you know, I was still able to get the job done, but nothing, you know, I don't take anything away from her. She went and took a heavyweight female, you know, built just like her. I'm an inch and a half taller. I also had 35 pounds on her. Like, she took a bigger chick, an older chick, 2-3 rounds.
No, she was awesome. It was impressive. If you guys get a chance to replay it there, Max everywhere, pretty much on social media as well. But great job, Mac. Really appreciate it. We're all proud of you and looking forward to the next fight and next competition for you. And obviously looking forward to the on-field play with the Nebraska Valkyries as well with the WFA. So what a weekend, guys. I don't know. It's just pretty awesome. You know, Australia, Spain. We talked to Coach Giovanni of the national team, Mexican national team. We talked to Ambria Marcucci, who's coming in to play for Nevada. So what a great packed 2 hours. And like I said, if you guys love our content, make sure you subscribe and share our stuff. You can listen to Mac, listen to Mark, myself, Nate, the Hall of Famer, Holly Custis, as well. So, and then Terry Lister as well. So very informative. So check it out. Don't forget, subscribe, download our podcast on Apple, iHeart, and Spotify. All right, I think that's pretty much it. Let's head on out. 4:15 here in the house next week. So looking forward to the final matchup playoffs for TVS in Texas. And then looking forward to the playoff picture that's going to unfold in Spain. So, and then obviously Combine and other NFL news. So, Mac, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. Mark, as always, appreciate it again. And looking forward to next week. I think it's going to be pretty awesome as we talk NFL and more stuff from the Hub.
All right, Oscar. Good night. Good night, Mac.
Mark, see ya, Oscar. Stay salty.
I'm telling you, marketing, change your marketing. Salty, the salty one, Brooks. Just do it.
I'll consider it. How about that? I will think about it.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's head on out. Don't forget to go to Monkey Knife Fight as well. Use the code NGF.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.